Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN. 102.5 The Game, online at GameNashville.com. He is the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. And Floyd, remember last week when I sat all of us down and I said, all right, let's talk about the Vols before we get to SEC Media Days, before we start making predictions, before we hear predictions from the quote-unquote experts. And boy, were the predictions and the assessments from the quote-unquote experts not very pleasant for Tennessee football at SEC Media Days. Mm-hmm. It all started Monday morning on Braden and Fitz when Booger McFarland got it kicked off.
I think Tennessee's going to be abysmal. I think Butch Jones, the people at Tennessee are going to have to make a decision at the end of the year. Do you take a chance on being great, or are you satisfied with being good?
Then it continued. Jordan Rogers came on our show, SEC Network number one analyst, and dropped this nugget.
In relation to the East, Tennessee is sitting at third or fourth. They're not ahead of Georgia. They're not ahead of Florida. I think right now Kentucky is ahead of them.
And then Freddie Maggard, former Kentucky quarterback, on our show yesterday.
I think the ceiling for Tennessee is an 8-win team, maybe 9-win team. Not this year, but annually. And I don't think Tennessee fans are going to put up with that much longer. Because, listen, you had six drafted in the first four rounds. And you go 8-4 in the regular season and lose to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. You lose to Vanderbilt when you got a chance to win the game and go to the Cotton Bowl. With all that online and fold with that much talent, I don't see how that can be improved upon.
So, Floyd, here's the question. Was the media too hard on the Vols? And why is the media so hard on the Vols?
Well, I mean, they were not complimentary. I mean, let's face it. Everybody is a little bit taken aback because of last year. You know, last year the expectations were so high. At this point in time last year, every one of those guys would have said Tennessee's going to win the SEC East.
Booger picked them for sure.
There you go. I mean, they would all say, yeah, they're going to win the SEC East and go away with it. And I think when everybody saw, you know, that they were okay, they're banging along and they got their head above water, and then it looks like, okay, they're not going to win the SEC East, but they can at least go to a big-time bowl, and then you lose to Vandy, and then you lose to South Carolina, and that's all wiped out. So, you know, you end up losing a couple of championships along the way, and I think people look at that and shake their head. You know, they said, geez, how can you – I can't be that excited about you anymore. And the truth is now I think Tennessee is going to get the respect that they earn, whatever that is. I mean, they jump out. I look at this schedule for next year. I mean, 7 wins would not shock me at all. I mean, I could very easily look at it and say 7 wins. To get more, they're going to have to beat one of the good teams. But more importantly for Tennessee is to get to the 8, you can't mess up an easy game against one of those lesser teams.
You can't let Vandy walk into Neyland Stadium and beat you.
And that's what has happened for the last little bit.
You can't go on the road and lose to Kentucky.
Right. That's exactly right. So I think that's part of the problem.
See, I agree with the media. And here's my thing is with Tennessee, when you don't have skin in the game, you can just call it how you see it. Jordan said he thinks they're the third or fourth best team in the East. That's fair. I would put Kentucky ahead of them right now. Kentucky has certainty at quarterback. Kentucky finished the season on a strong note last year. Kentucky's got a lot of positive momentum. Kentucky's coach is safe. I mean, there's a lot of stability at Kentucky right now that's not at Tennessee. Tennessee, meanwhile, you can't say that they're better than Georgia. You can't say they're better than Florida. What are they at quarterback? Who knows? But I think what happens is when you have skin in the game, like when you are VolQuest.com, and people paying to visit your site depends on whether or not you say positive things, you're going to say positive things. So you're going to have these fans go to these websites, and VolQuest.com is going to tell them everything's going to be okay. And then you get Booger McFarland, who doesn't have skin in the game, and Booger will just say whatever he wants. Freddie Maggard will say whatever he wants. Jordan will say whatever he wants. And what was funny was all the people on Twitter that were saying, well, Jordan Rogers is just saying that because he's a Vandy guy, and it. He just slammed Vanderbilt yesterday on the show. Annihilated them. May possibly have burned a bridge. So it's not about being a homer. And I agree with him. I think Vols fans have got to pull their heads out of their buns, and they've got to realize, hey, this is the football team you have right now. And then you got to say to yourself, is that acceptable? Should that be okay at the University of Tennessee, where Freddie Maggard says with this program, he thinks they are 8 or 9 wins annually, that being the ceiling. Not 8 or 9 wins every year. Like A&M wins 8 games every year, and that's not okay.
Right.
He's saying 8 wins as the ceiling with Butch Jones as coach. Ask yourself if that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's a question that Vol fans have to answer for themselves. I mean, the thing, Butch talks about 9 wins for the last 2 years, which is good. I'm not taking any of that away from him. But I think he has to remember that includes losing to Vandy and losing to South Carolina when you can go to a big-time bowl game. So the truth is you should have had 11 wins. You know, and because you have 9, you can still underperform at 9 wins.
How talented was UT 2 years ago? Think about that. 2 years ago, not last year where they were probably more talented, but how talented were they 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Because I know they were talented enough to beat Oklahoma at home, who ended up going to the college football playoff. So remember, Oklahoma went to the playoff that year. The Vols had them beat. The Vols had them dead to rights and couldn't finish the deal.
Right.
And so they're talented enough to beat a college football playoff team, talented enough to be up with 5 minutes to go in Tuscaloosa against Alabama, couldn't finish the deal. I mean, you were talented enough to win those games, and you didn't. So do I think the media has been too tough on the Vols? No doubt in my mind that they're not. They're just telling it how it is. That's why people that listen to this show think we hate the Vols. We don't hate the Vols. But we definitely think right now they're at least the 6th best, maybe 7th best program in the SEC. So if you're okay with 7th best, fine. Go ahead, have it. But if you think UT should be winning championships like we do, then you got to listen to what everybody around the room is saying and think, wow, this is really not. This should not be accepted at the University of Tennessee.
And I think that's exactly right. I mean, the standards, and maybe, you know, maybe I'm the old man, you know, yelling to get off my grass. But the truth is, I mean, the Vols when I came here, team that was, you know, led by Peyton Manning, every year competing for the SEC title was something that was important and it was really big. But they wanted to compete for the national championship. You know, that's where they were pushing.
When I asked Gary Danielson the other day about where does Tennessee go from here, he just gave me this look, and he didn't say it, but he gave me this look like, Jared, it's hopeless. You know, that was the look on Gary's face when I asked him about it. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe, get us started. What's up, Joe?
Let me preface off by saying, Jared, first of all, you're just a Louisville Bobo, so I don't know, you know, how can you talk Vols, you know, Vols Nation on the radio.
What have I said that's not right about the Vols?
I mean, everything is right you said about the Vols, but, I mean, I think we need to give Butch another opportunity. This year, if he don't come through this year, if he can't compete, I think you have to find somebody. But I don't know who you're going to find out there.
Jim,
I mean,
Kelly?
Who's going to put in Butch? I don't know. I think Butch is your best opportunity right now.
You think Butch Jones is better than a coach that went like 33-6 in 3 years in conference at the Pac-12?
No, I don't. But I mean, again, the stability thing. I mean, you go from another coach to like you went from Lane Kiffin to Butch. I mean, you gotta give opportunity. I mean, I'm a Vols fan, but I just don't expect the opinions of Jordan Rogers or Booger McFarland. I mean,
what about Freddie Maggard?
I didn't see him. His credibility is A-OK. But I think, you know, Jordan Rogers get on that slam Vanderbilt for being, you know, oh, their facilities are terrible. Their facilities have always been terrible. I mean,
he's not wrong. I mean,
he's not wrong, but he's not slamming Vanderbilt, if you ask me. I mean, I just don't agree with it. But I think you give Butch Jones one more year, and then this year we have to find somebody else. But
well, you have to give Butch this year. It was July.
I mean, he's going to get this year, and maybe a couple more.
You're convinced 7 wins keeps his job.
I think 7 wins keeps his job. I think it has to get to 6 to really make the decision hard. You know, maybe a 60-40 kind of thing. At 7 wins, I think he's in again because of, like, Joe. I mean, there are a lot of Vols fans who are saying, hey, he needs more time. And I, you know what? I can't argue with that.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't argue with it as long as you understand what you're getting. This is the same thing that Mississippi State would say, same thing that Kentucky would say, same thing that – now, they're not saying that at Alabama, LSU, Auburn, places like that. So all I'm saying is I understand it. I'm supportive of it. That's great. But you have to understand what it is you're telling us.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get right to the phone, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Jared and the GM live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, Butch better not lose to Georgia Tech.
We've talked about that.
You know, I mean, that's a game they expect him to win. I mean, can he lose to Kentucky again? I mean, none of these jobs are safe. Norfolk, shouldn't be. I mean, I think all these guys realize when you're getting paid $4 million a year, they're not paying you that money to finish, you know, in the Liberty Bowl.
Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, when you take this job, you know you're taking a job to compete. You don't have to win it every year. Nobody expects that. But I think these fan bases and athletic directors expect you to compete for it. I mean, look at Gus. He had his team there, what, 2013, and he's somewhat on the hot seat.
That was Gary Danielson on our show from CBS right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, you know, it's like Gary said, he better not lose to Georgia Tech. That first game of the year, I think, is monumental for Vols fans. Because if you're one of the ones that's still behind Butch and they go out there on Labor Day and they lose 41-13, there are going to be a lot of people that jump off the bandwagon the first game of the year.
Yeah. I mean, it's an important game. It's an opener, and it's an opener against a unique team.
And like Gary said, they ain't paying coaches $4 million to go to Liberty Bowl.
And that's the hard part. But you know, it's great the money these coaches are making. But you know what? With all that money comes a lot of responsibility now.
Let's go to the people. Adam is up next on Jared and the GM. Loaded phone lines. What's up, Adam?
Hey, I got a couple things for you. Number one, I love your Butch Jones impersonation. When I hang up, I want you to do a little bit. But I cannot stand your take on him, though. And you're starting to fire up all these coaches around here. You know, Derek Mason already don't like you. So now you got Butch Jones, who, if he actually listened to just like 10 minutes of the show, he could tell that you don't like him. And it's not a personal thing. I'm just saying, from what I hear you,
I just don't think he's a good coach.
To talk about him like he's a bum coach, because they had a lot they were going through when they went on that winning streak last year. A lot of injuries, your running back freaks out this year.
Whose fault's that?
AD. You got to see how he's going to play with his new AD. You got to give him a little more of a shot than
what have you seen, Adam, that makes you think Butch Jones is a great coach?
What have you seen that makes you think that Chip Kelly can respond and come and be a great coach for that ball team?
Chip Kelly coaching a national title game. Chip Kelly was 33-3 in 4 seasons in the Pac-12. Butch has lost to Vandy almost as many times as Chip Kelly lost in conference.
Right, but his running back didn't freak out in the middle of the season. He didn't have a plethora of injuries wiping out all of his starters on the, like, 6 on defense and 3 or 4 on offense.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
So Butch has felt a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go. The excuse making runs rampant with the Tennessee.
I mean, we kind of hear the same thing, you know, caller after call, and I understand it. And I, you know what, I have no problem with that. We're going to use that, and I'm okay with it.
But those excuses, the injuries, and the running back, Booger McFarland doesn't care about that. Jordan Rogers doesn't care about that. Freddie Maggard, they don't care about that.
Because they know every team goes through it. Every team's got part of that, you know. Now, if you lose a quarterback, I think that changes the game plan. But, you know, you lose defensive tackle. Everybody loses defensive tackle. Everybody loses middle linebackers. Everybody loses those players.
Take the Titans, for example. You know, someone's going to get hurt on the Titans during the season. Mm-hmm. If Avery Williamson gets hurt, should that totally change how the Titans play this season? I don't think it should.
Nope.
Now, Marcus gets hurt. It's a totally different story.
There you go.
But the quarterback at UT didn't get hurt. He was the best part of the whole team. And now he's gone. Let's go to Corey, who's up next. What's up, Corey?
Not much, Jared. Hey, man, I've been I was a Butch supporter, which I still kind of am a Butch supporter, but I agree with you on one thing. He loses Georgia Tech, his legs are gone. But here's the thing from a lot of Vols fans, and I'm one of them. The reason why we're so defending of Butch Jones right now is because if we fire Butch Jones, who do you got coming up to Knoxville to coach the team? You may get some young guy that's going to come up there, but then here we go again, another 3, 4, you know, maybe 5 years of being worse than where we're at. I think that's the biggest fear, is letting Butch Jones go, and then here we are back in the basement again, starting all over, and you might get something better, or you might even get something worse.
Corey, what if I told you? What if I told you that Tennessee's going to hire Chip Kelly?
Okay, let's do that. Let's say they hire Chip Kelly. Okay, he goes. Let's say he goes 10-2 his first year.
Okay, that's what he did his first year at Oregon.
Okay, second year, 8-4.
That's not what he did his second year at Oregon.
I know, but I'm just saying. 8-4. Okay, third year. Let's say he's back 10-2. Fourth year, he goes 11-1. He drops back down to 8-4, 7-5.
So you're telling me, as a UT fan, you would not take – you just gave me 3 10-win seasons in a 5-year span.
Okay,
and you don't seem like you would be happy with that.
But look, how many did Fulmer have 10-win seasons? He had 2 bad seasons, and they kicked him to the curb like an old piece of garbage. So what I'm saying is that's the biggest fear right now. You fire somebody that's been up there 5 years, who's getting the recruiting classes. Yeah, sure. Am I upset he lost to Florida twice? We didn't go to Atlanta? Absolutely. But does that stop me from going to the game? No, it doesn't.
So your biggest fear is that Tennessee's going to get a coach that's so good that they're then going to want to fire him if he doesn't win.
But they also could get – no. But what I'm saying is they could get a coach worse than Butch Jones.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll the dice. I appreciate your call. I mean,
that's an interesting take, though.
I'm not sure I follow the take, though. I think I do, but I'm not sure. It's very confusing.
My impression is they're scared to death of
hiring a worse coach.
Of Lane Kiffin. They're scared to death of a Dooley. They're scared to death that's going to be the next guy in line. And if I'm at University of Tennessee and I'm hiring, I'm saying, hey, guys, we're not talking about people like that. We're talking about, I'm just throwing names out here, Les Miles. We're talking about, you know, who's the coach at Colorado? Who's the coach at Utah? Who's the coach at Northwestern? Who's the coach at some big-time school? Because that's the kind of coach I think if you're at the University of Tennessee, you go for it. You don't have to go to Kent State, sorry, Nikki, to find your next head coach at the University of Tennessee. You go to North Carolina. You go to South Carolina. You go to, you know, some place that is proven.
I told you in February I'd fire Butch Jones and hire Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly, whoever it may be. I mean, whoever floats your boat.
I mean, I don't understand how so many people just look at Chip Kelly and they don't think he's a good coach. He was 33-3 in conference in 4 years in the Pac-12. 33-3. Butch has lost to Vandy twice. So Chip Kelly in 4 years lost as almost as many games in conference as Butch has lost to Vanderbilt. How can you not want Chip Kelly? I will never understand that. Wayne is up next on our show. Thank you for calling. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, guys, a couple things. I'm pretty sure Tennessee went out and tried to hire a big-name coach when they hired Butch Kelly, when they hired Derek Dooley. They didn't want to come coach Tennessee. Second of all, I'm not real sure where all this expectation level comes from. Tennessee's been to 5. They've won the East 5 times. They've been playing this conference championship for 25 years. Tennessee is an average, a pretty good team. Other than that, what have they been in the last 10 years?
That's actually a really interesting take.
That is an interesting take. And you know what? There's some truth there. And maybe, you know, maybe it's the Peyton Manning era for me when I first got here. Maybe it was T. Martin winning the national championship. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was that kind of got me thinking, all right, we're going to contend for a national championship every year. I don't care who else is winning. Interesting.
That is really depressing for me to hear, you know, that maybe Tennessee isn't. Maybe our expectation for Tennessee on a year-in and year-out basis is just too high.
Yeah.
We'll ask Trevor Maddich. He's going to join us next. We'll get Trevor's take on what is fair at Tennessee, what should be fair at Tennessee. You know, his thought, we'll play the Booger comment for him. We'll get his thoughts on Booger and everything else from SEC Media Day. That's coming up next. Trevor Maddich has also been visiting SEC campuses. We'll get his latest from there as well. It is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game. That music is usually played at 4:30 on a Tuesday. But we were at SEC Media Days, and we were given the best college football out there. And we said, you know what? Let's give the best college football all week, which means Trevor Maddich is joining us. Trevor, it is good to talk to you. Trevor, I'm telling you right now, we talked to probably every expert there was out there, and it still didn't hit home like it is when we get to talk to you every week because you're the best expert there is out there.
Well, that's gracious of you to say, but what a thrill, and I appreciate that. Thank you. What a thrill for you to be down there, though. I mean, what a zoo SEC Media Days is. What was it like for you?
It was not as much of a zoo as I'm used to. You know, I was a little, I don't want to say underwhelmed, but the excitement level for football is there, but maybe not for the SEC because it kind of feels like it's a one dog race this year.
Well, yeah, that dog would be Alabama. I heard a lot of conversation about how Alabama might be sucking the wind out of the SEC and how that might even be bad for the conference, but I think that's silly. I mean, I think it's ridiculous. Now, yeah, Alabama last year played for the national championship. No other team in the SEC had more than 8 wins in the regular season. I get that. But that's not Alabama's fault. And I think it's lazy for other teams to think that they won't be able to actualize and reach their potential until Saban's gone. That's really silly. Now, I do understand, by the way, that people are generally fighting for number 2, you know, with the exception of really catching lightning in a bottle. That's fine. I get that. But look at what Wisconsin did. Barry Alvarez, years ago, they were a below-average program. He took over, and he didn't try to compete with Michigan and Ohio State in the beginning. He wanted to beat the rest of them. He wanted to beat Michigan State and Northwestern. And then he got to that point, and then from there launched to where he was now going to the Rose Bowl year after year. That's what everybody else in the SEC needs to do right now, and that's okay.
And we've talked about Tennessee in that regard, and that's the thing about Tennessee, Trevor, is everybody at SEC Media Day seems to be down on the Vols in 2017. A lot of your colleagues at ESPN are not huge believers in what Tennessee can do, and Floyd and I have just said, just beat those teams. You don't have to beat Alabama, but you do need to beat South Carolina and Vandy. And I wonder if the discontent with Tennessee, if the fans and the national media are kind of on the same page or different pages, because I feel like they're probably on different pages right now about Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's on a different page at all times, which is part of the fun of this whole thing. You know, we always talk about how there's a lot of truth to go around on both sides of any argument in college football. But, man, do I disagree with some people that have been ripping up Tennessee. And the thing is, some people look at the record, and that is everything. And I understand winning in the end, that's how coaches get hired or fired. I understand that. But in any given season, I've talked to coaches who have told me that their best coaching job was in a 7-5 season or a 6-6 season because of the personnel that was available due to injuries and other issues. And getting them to that many wins at all, they consider a huge triumph. And personally, I think last year was a quality year for Tennessee, getting to 9 wins because of what they had to overcome in order to get there. And so, you know, if you look at Tennessee in the big picture right now, I think that Butch Jones is getting a whole lot of grief that he doesn't deserve.
Trev, one of the joys of the media days for us was Derek Mason. And he is a confident man. He was enjoying the media day. He finally has some numbers and some bodies and some names of people that he can talk about and feel good about and fill the holes with. But he was a confident man this week.
Yeah, the kind of guys that he's getting are the kind of guys that he had as a defensive coordinator at Stanford. I went out there a few years ago to Palo Alto to visit him in his office, Floyd, and we spent about the first 10 or 15 minutes of our conversation talking about mistakes that the great powers made leading up to the inception of World War One, and how today we need to learn from those mistakes and not repeat them, right? I'm in the office with a defensive coordinator, a football coach, and he was telling me how guys at Stanford, and it's the same with the guys he's got at Vanderbilt now, you can't just tell them what to do and then not tell them why, because they will challenge you. You have to convince them that what they're being asked to do is the right thing to do, and you'd better have good reasoning for it. But if you do, then they're on board, because to them, the why is every bit as important as the direct order just to do something. And so part of, I think, his confidence is that he's got a bunch of guys in there that aren't just talented, but that now understand why he wants them to do certain things, and the whole thing just runs in a more a smoother way.
The other one of the areas of debate for us, it seemed like the entire week, was talking about the SEC East, and because Tennessee is a question mark, and everybody else seems to improve, but there's not a clear cut. Okay, this team is going to win it. Now Georgia, I think, is probably the favorite, but not as clear cut as it was, for example, last year with Tennessee. And right. So the question is the East more competitive or is the East weaker?
Well, first of all, I think the East is the national champion of wardrobe, and it's only because of Vanderbilt coach Derek Mason's suit. I mean, did you see that suit? I could not rock that suit. That was a lavender or purple kind of plaid. That was amazing, right? That was pretty awesome.
That was cool.
I think the fact that Vanderbilt now is on the rise and they're more of a threat to some of the traditional powers elevates, you know, the division. And I think it's going to be hard to win it. But I think a lot of people still think that the SEC East is weak because nobody in it can beat Alabama yet. Well, nobody in the West can beat Alabama either. Mm-hmm. And so if you take Alabama out of it, I think the SEC East now is a really good division. And I think every team in there is a tough out in their own way. I think probably three teams have a chance to win that thing. Another three teams or four have a chance to blow somebody else's chance because they can rise up and beat them. And I don't think the SEC East is the weak sister anymore. I think it's filled with really good quality football teams with a lot of talent. Now, if you compare them to Alabama, well, that's not fair. You know, you can compare anybody to Alabama, and it's not fair.
Well, but hold on, Trevor.
In and of themselves, they're good teams.
Trevor, I got to disagree, because I would say if you compare Georgia Tech to the SEC East, they can't compete. Because Georgia Tech slammed Vandy in Kentucky. They beat Georgia last year. The ACC has owned the SEC East for the last 3 years at the end of the season. Clemson has dominated South Carolina. Louisville, outside of last year, has owned Kentucky for the last 5 years. Georgia Tech has more than held their own against Georgia. Florida State has dominated Florida. I wholeheartedly disagree with that statement, because the ACC itself has owned the SEC East. So I am not on the same wavelength as you are with the SEC East.
Well, see, Jared, you make a great point. Last year and in years past, I'm talking about this group. And so I think that when you look at the progression at Georgia of Jacob Eason at quarterback, of having Nick Chubb back at running back, I mean, Georgia's got an elite group of running backs and tight ends, good young talent at wide receiver and offensive line, one of the best defenses, I think, returning in the country. And I think if Jacob Eason can continue his mental progression as a pro-style quarterback, there'll be a huge improvement at Georgia. Florida, I think, will be better. I think their defense won't fall off much. They have a lot coming back. But offensively, I think they'll be much, much better. And I think Malik Zaire, a quarterback, gives them a guy at that position that can do one thing very well. He can run very well. They haven't had a guy that can do one thing very well since Tim Tebow, I don't think. So I think Florida will be much better. Kentucky's on the rise. And people talk about Tennessee. Last year, they had epic injuries. I mean, we talked about how only five guys on that team started all 13 games at their own position. I mean, they were taking defensive ends, long, lanky defensive ends, and having them to play against SEC opponents inside a defensive tackle against guards and centers, and they just got pushed all over the field at the end of the season. But now those guys that had to play last year and they weren't ready, now they have experience. Now they're a year older. I think Tennessee in some ways will be a better football team this year than they were in the second half of last year. So I think as you look at the progression of the team, Kyle Shermer, a quarterback at Vandy, makes that offense better with Ralph Webb back. You know, Kentucky's got a returning quarterback that can play. And so I believe that the SEC East this year will progress and be much better than they were last year.
Trevor Maddich is our guest, ESPN college football analyst. We will play for him what Booger McFarland said next and kind of the whole negativity aspect that we got from pretty much the national media surrounding the Vols at SEC Media Days, plus something that Nick Saban said. We'll get to that, too. It's all coming up next with Trevor Maddich, our guest from ESPN on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
I don't think the SEC is slipping. I think that the East dominated for a long time, and now it seems like the West has had a little better run of it, but that'll turn back around soon, too.
That was Nick Saban yesterday on our show. He thinks the East will turn back around, and Trevor Maddich certainly agrees with him as he joins us from ESPN. And Trevor, I have one little bone to pick with you, if that's okay.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so you've referenced the injuries for Tennessee, which a lot of Tennessee fans have, with why Tennessee struggled down the stretch. But I'm looking at it, and in the last month of the season, injuries only could have cost Tennessee one game. That was at Vanderbilt, and that was because they won all their other games. They beat Tennessee Tech, they beat Kentucky, they beat Missouri, they beat Nebraska in the bowl game. They only lost to Vandy with injuries. So I look at some of their other losses. At A&M last year, they turned the ball over seven times and lose in double overtime. That's not injury-related why you lost. That's you turned the ball over seven times and you lost. So if the injuries cost you one game, then how is the injury excuse? I shouldn't say excuse. How are injuries the factor for why they struggled down the stretch when they won three of their last four?
Yeah, well, you make a great point. And it wasn't all injuries, and they wouldn't make that excuse either. But when it comes down to winning down the stretch, first of all, I think it was some great coaching and great resilience by the players that led them to all those wins down the stretch with all those injuries. We start there. But another thing was that Vandy game, if they beat Vandy, they go to the Sugar Bowl. Isn't that right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So, but they lost to Vandy. Vandy ran all over that defense. And then they just didn't have any people left to play positions that were the right positions for those guys to play.
Yeah, but shouldn't Tennessee beat Vandy even if they are hurt?
By Vanderbilt, which is weird.
Shouldn't they beat Vandy even if they are hurt?
Not necessarily. Vandy's on the way back up. And what happens is there's a domino theory. And that is, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Jared, and about how one of the things they need to do better is get backups ready to play for when a lot of injuries happen. Well, they've actually now, ironically, because of last year's injuries, have more guys that are ready to play. But when you talk about the dominoes, especially when you get an entire position group decimated, like defensive tackle, and you've got to play those skinny defensive ends inside, once they start to get pushed around, now you've got linebackers that are out. Now all of a sudden you're getting gouged up the middle. Everything starts to go wrong as you try to compensate for that. And that's a big reason for that. Now, again, I'm not saying that we should then excuse Vanderbilt's entire season and all the things that they did control that they could have done better. What I'm saying is that big picture overall, they did a lot of things under duress that I think they should get credit for, and they're not. And they still got themselves to the point that if they were able to win that last game against Vanderbilt, that game against Vanderbilt, they would have been to the Sugar Bowl anyhow.
Trev, where are you on the new Mississippi news?
New Mississippi news. I kind of think I'm up to date with kind of what's going on. I know there's a lawsuit that just got dropped by Houston Nutt, but what have you got?
I'm just curious about what you thought about the lawsuit and about the accusations. And, I mean, Freeze has got to be, I mean, he's just about dead and gone, isn't he?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, Ole Miss has firmly backed him. They've extended his contract. And I think unless there's another thing that drops, I expect them to stay with him. And that's where they've been so far, and they've doubled down on it. Houston Nutt's a former coach there, and he says that Hugh Freeze is lying when he says that a lot of the problems happened under Houston Nutt. Well, whoever's telling the truth on that Hugh Freeze, and this is sort of my opinion on it, Hugh Freeze has got to settle this lawsuit regardless, because the worst thing that he could do is go into discovery, where he will be put under oath, having to answer any question that Houston Nets lawyer want to ask him about his conduct in recruiting and in player, you know, acquisition, all the different things that he's accused of doing wrong. And under oath, he doesn't want to be. So he'll have to, because really any coach, if they're under oath, will end up saying things that will look incriminating, whether or not they are. So I think Freeze has to settle this thing.
What we were talking yesterday and kind of going through the SEC East again, and we got to Missouri, and it was so interesting how we were talking with Freddie Maggard, who is a former UK quarterback, etc., and he was talking about Missouri and talking about the fact that, you know, they've got a 1,000-yard rusher, they've got a quarterback that is very good, offensive line is very good, receiving group is real solid. Defenses maybe need a little bit of work. You know, they need something to bring them back a little bit. But that Missouri is going to win some games simply because they were going to go out and outscore a bunch of people.
I think that's fair. I mean, when you look at quarterbacks in the SEC East right now, I think Drew Locke at Missouri is the one most likely to win a shootout, because he can throw the ball deep down the field with accuracy, and now he's got a better feel in the second year of the offense, the air raid offense, for what he needs to do. I think the defensive side of the ball, the head coach, Barry Odom, used to be the defensive coordinator there, and when he was there, they were solid. Well, last year, they went from giving up about 130 yards on the ground on their defense to giving up over 220. I don't know what it was. It was just a ridiculous amount of rushing yards they gave up. But Odom had basically offloaded a lot of the defensive responsibility to other coaches. This year, I think he'll take on more of that responsibility. And he made a comment that I thought was interesting. He said that they want to change some of the technique that they're teaching the players now, because in the past, they were getting up the field and creating penetration. Last year, they didn't do it as much because of the way they were being coached. I think Odom wants to get back to that. So it's possible that the defense could make a big leap forward just by making that change.
Trevor Maddich is our guest, ESPN college football analyst. Trevor, I'm looking at the week one slate for the SEC East, because you are high on the East. And I wonder how much in your mind will the three big out-of-conference games, Florida against Michigan in Dallas, Tennessee, Georgia Tech in Atlanta in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and South Carolina, NC State. How important are those three games going to be to prove your theory that the East is significantly better? How important are those for that hypothesis?
Well, just based on the way you put that up, Jared, they are critical. Because something tells me I will never hear the end of it if they don't win at least two of those three games.
You're right about that.
Really, the biggest one is Florida-Michigan. And really, all the pressure's on Florida. Because Michigan, they lost 10 guys off of their defense, right? One starter returns from last year, and all 10 of the guys that they lost on defense, all 10 are currently on NFL rosters. So right now, all the pressure's on Florida to beat up on Michigan before they can get back to speed. So my eyes are on that game.
Trevor, I told you that I've been critical of Derek Mason in the past, and that I think it's always important to kind of, you know, at least stand up, you know, when you have been critical before. And so this happened at SEC Media Days. I want to get your take.
Jared Stillman, ESPN Radio Nashville. Coach, you talk about what's on the other side and having built depth. What is the ceiling in your mind for Vanderbilt football?
You know, there is no ceiling, Jared. It's good to see you, by the way. For me, what it comes back to is this. There's only two types of people in this world, limited and limitless, and you got to figure out which one you are. You know, man, we work extremely hard every day to make our mark and to figure out exactly where we're going. And you earn those every Saturday. So, I mean, we'll start where we're at. You know, right now, man, we have no victories. We have no losses. Okay, man, we line up versus MTSU, and we'll figure out exactly who we are, and then we'll go from there. But I do know this. This team's got something special man, behind it. I feel the energy. I understand who they are, and they understand where they're at. So to you, Jared, hopefully, man, you get behind the movement. Okay, because we need you. We want you. Come check us out on West End.
I got a good kick out of that. What do you think?
Well, which are you, Jared, limited or limitless?
Oh, I'm limitless. There's no doubt about that now. But I will say this. I'm sitting there, and I'm almost laughing, and I'm worried the camera's going to flash on me when they show me laughing, and I was hoping that they didn't do that. But I thought it was a pretty good response, and Derek Mason was totally on his game, confident at Media Day. He is excited. You could tell, Trev.
He is excited. You're right. And, again, this is another thing where they know who they are. Now, they can't admit this. Derek Mason can't say this. But Vanderbilt is not going to beat Alabama, not now, not 10 years from now, if Alabama stays what they are. But they can be that team. They can rise up and contend for an East championship at some point once he's got that Stanford role going with the kinds of kids that he brings in. Vanderbilt doesn't have the facilities to be able to compete based on eye candy or the flash to be able to compete based on star making with competitors in recruiting in the rest of the SEC. But those aren't the kind of kids that they recruit. They recruit that high academic kid that really values a Vanderbilt degree and understands the difference between a degree from Vanderbilt and some other places, that are coachable, hardworking, have enough talent to be able to be developed. And so, you know, he knows that he's on a roll with that concept. That's who they are. It's who they need to be. And don't worry about whether it's good enough to beat Alabama right now. Just get better at that.
Trevor Maddich, as always, Trev, we'll talk next week.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Trev.
Trevor Maddich, our guy, joining us as he always does. Well, Floyd, it's Thursday, and it's almost 5 o'clock, which means it can only be one thing.
Oh, Ask the GM.
It is Ask the GM. Presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. College football on the table, football in the NFL, the Titans, the Preds, it's all on the table. 615-737-1025 is the number, 615-737-1025. Load up those phone lines. I expect us to get a lot of UT Vols questions today. But we could probably get anything in there. Ask the GM. And the best call for the GM, the best question, will win a pair of tickets to the WWE Monday Night Raw at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, July 17th. Don't miss the big dog, Roman Reigns, Intercontinental Champion Dean Ambrose, and Women's Champion Alex Bliss, and many more. That's WWE Raw. Ask the GM, 615-737-1025. Load up those lines is next on Jared and the GM, ESPN 1025, The Game.